Ephesians 4, verse 11, he gave some, not many. He gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Boy, I'm glad he gave some. If he hadn't give you a preacher, where would you be this morning? I ain't a tooting my horn. I just thank God to give me a preacher one day. Oh, Brother Elmer Kaysen, just an old well driller. Sent over to fight the Germans, shot down. Said there's all laying there, and to be sure there's all dead, so the Germans just scattered a machine gun over the whole platoon, left them as dead. But by the grace of God, he let old Brother Elmer get up, walk out. Maybe, just maybe, let him live just to reach this preacher. I don't know. But I know he gave some. Boy, what we owe him for the gifts he's given us. He gave us some. I've heard this said, if you're a preacher, the woods is full of them. Well, I wouldn't go in the woods because one's going to jump out behind a tree on you. I know God's called me to preach. And I know I ain't perfect. But I know He's called me to preach. And so He's gave you some. He gave us some apostles and some evangelists and some pastors. Thank God for some men know something about the Holy Ghost this morning. Thank God we know something more than just about things that stimulate the flesh. I'm glad we know about a risen Savior this morning. He said, I gave some. Thank God for them He give. I've not known many, but thank God I know a few He's give. And He gave some. Thank you, Lord, for them you've given. How many of you here this morning because God gave some? How many of you was minding your own business and by the grace of God, He allowed a man of God to walk in your path with the Word of God and open it up and preach on the power of the anointing of God, and the Holy Ghost changed your life and wrote you down yonder in glory land. Well, to thank God for a few that He's given to us. Thank God for some. And He gave some. And then He said the reason that He gives some, it was real important. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I thank the Lord that we have a ministry here that works. I can tell you how I know that it works, because the gospel's preached to men, women, boys, and girls, as men are, and as God is. He's high and holy, and we're wretched without a Savior. Ain't you glad that He gave us the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death and the burial and the setting on the right hand of the Father? I'm glad He's there to make intercession for me and you this morning. Oh, He gave some for the work of the ministry. I'm glad we have a ministry that works. I wonder how many times you've left this place and your life's been touched. I wonder how many times you've left this place, come in, and you left out another way than how you come. I'm glad we have a ministry that works. I'm glad we have a Jesus that cares about us this morning. Aren't you glad He just didn't save you and leave you to do with yourself? But He gave us some for the perfecting of the growing in order, of not staying where we was. I know I'll be the first one to say, I'm not where I need to be this morning. But thank God I ain't where I used to be. I'm one step closer to home right now than I was a half a second ago. Thank God I know my name's written down yonder in glory land world. He said, I've give you some for the perfecting. Ain't you glad you've sat under some men of God, preached the Word of God to you and challenged to you? And He says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, He says, I need you to take the Word of God and preach it to people. Then people take it and use it for the honor and the glory of Christ. Lord, in our church, we only have four deacons and four deacons' wives in a ministry this size. They can't do it all. And ain't no sense in you trying to put the blame on nobody. And ain't no sense in you trying to hunt a title to do something for Jesus. You can do something for Jesus without being a preacher or a deacon this morning. People say, well, I would wished I had a place to work. Jesus did a lot in 33 years in just a little small area. Matter of fact, I wonder what type of opportunities you've got here to work. Look at the people sitting around. I think I counted this morning 6, 7, 8 new families sitting here this morning. We're glad you're here. Work of the ministry. It's amazing how the ministry works. I can tell you how it works. God saves one. And then you get so excited about what God's done for you, you go tell somebody else. And then you reach and bring them to the house of God. And then God saves them. God does the work in them. Then you go get somebody else. And that's the way this principle's worked all through this whole Bible. Preacher can't save nobody. Jesus is in the saving business. Sheep get sheep. And boy, if there's ever been a time and an opportunity we have, it is this morning. A ministry that works. 14, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are some places you're just a number. And in some places they've overlooked you just to get another number. I'm glad we in the people ministry. Yes. Amen. You're just not a number and I'm not a number. We're individuals. Jesus didn't die for numbers. He died for people. Thank God for the working of this ministry that we be not tossed to and fro, carried about with different winds of doctrine. I'm glad I know what I believe this morning. I believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe the indwelling of the Spirit of God. I believe when a man, woman, boy, or girl gets saved by the grace of God, Jesus comes and lives in them by the person of the Holy Ghost. I believe one of our greatest obligations in a church is to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible teaches us that we can grieve the Spirit and we can quench the Spirit. When we grieve Him, it's because He's wanting to do something in us. When we quench Him, He's wanting to do something out of us. Aren't you glad you serve a God that works through you this morning? What a Savior. That He says, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him. I give you a good target to become Him. You want a role model? The best one I know is Jesus, young person. I wish we could go to getting our little one's eyes on the right role model instead of all the great sport athletes in America that are failing by the day. I wish we could get our eyes back on Christ as a nation. The Bible says, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. We headed there on a fast pace this morning. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. So be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. You know, once you get saved, He says it's our obligation, our duty to put off some things. And I tell you, He said you better learn to put them off because they get on you quick. Put off concerning the former conversation or that old lifestyle, the old man which is corrupt. Somebody say amen right there. You know, our problem in churches is we don't stay filled with the Spirit of God and we let the flesh run things and we let the flesh answer things. Oh my, this flesh is wicked. He said, put off that old lifestyle which is corrupt. I've got a testimony of the prodigal and I'm not so proud of that. I wish I was like my elder brother, stayed home at the father's house, but I found out both had flesh. One said he didn't deserve nothing. Another said he deserved a lot more. So I found out you can get in trouble in any place. You can get in trouble out yonder. You can get in trouble at the Father's house. He said you better learn to put off that old nature, that corrupt flesh. We're corrupt people. Matter of fact, I'd hate to know what people's done in this congregation this week. I'd hate to know what I've done if I hadn't tried to lay in an altar with God and stay in my Bible, stay on my... I'd hate to know where you'd be if you wasn't in your altar, in your Bible, on your face before God. Boy, we are corrupt, aren't we? We are corrupt. And He says this, you put it off. And watch this, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Lust will deceive you. Lust paints a pretty picture, don't it? If I can just have that. Hey, the devil won't never show you what you got. He'll just show you what you ain't got. And them deceitful lust. Lust is so deceitful. That's just like the billboards in America. They paint a pretty picture of the Clydesdales and the Budweiser commercials. Bush beer, come up to the mountains, enjoy the party life. All that nice stuff. Have a slogan now, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, it don't. God's writing it all down. He's writing all of that down. And so this deceitful lust, boy, how it grabs you and takes you and it deceives people. And then He says in verse 23, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That mind is an unbelievable thing. Matter of fact, been a thinking and pondering this week on three things that the devil loves to mess with. You listen to me. I preached on one Wednesday night. Devil loves to mess with the mind. Boy, if the devil can get your mind, he'll tell you that nobody loves you. He'll tell you this one's mad about you. He'll tell you that it's not use in serving God, that nothing matters. Let me tell you, honey, the devil is a lie and the father of it. The devil loves to get your mind. If he can get your mind, he's got you. But here is Paul's writing in this book of Ephesians. He said this, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put that old mind down and think on the things of Christ. Boy, the mind is an amazing thing. The reason people kill themselves, take their lives, and I'm convinced the mind is an organ, the mind goes bad. Just like a heart attack, the mind can go bad too. You better guard your mind. And young people, you better watch what you let your mind see. Because all through your life, it'll hit rewind, won't it, Brother Wayne? Brother Jared, to play things back that we've seen and places we shouldn't have been, things we've done, that mind will rewind, and that mind will take you places, oh, that'll get you in a lot of trouble. We better guard our mind in the hour and day that we live. Matter of fact, the devil loves to mess with that mind. Boy, he can, in an amazing way, he can just hook you in your nose and just lead you around by your mind. I'm glad that Jesus can even reach in and save and equip our mind. He can reach in and unlock that the devil has us tormented with. And then, I believe with all my heart, not only is the devil interested in the mind, but the devil's very interested in the ministry. Oh my, you take a place where nothing's going on, the Spirit of God's not prevalent, and Jesus is not exalted, you won't see the devil in operation. But buddy, you go to get in your family where the Word of God's preached and the Spirit of God's moving, and you're getting help for your family, you better watch the devil, friend. He'll be in your car waiting on you when you get in there on Sunday morning. Matter of fact, he'll be sitting there as soon as you throw the covers back. He'll say, "Good morning, I'm the devil." It's amazing to me how the devil loves to hang around ministry. All through this Bible, where there's always been an outpouring of heaven, it's always been an opposition of hell. Amen. And you better be sure one thing this morning. If you're sitting around where the Word of God is and the power of God is, the devil is very much interested in kicking you out of the ministry. Matter of fact, I can take you to a family right now in Carrollton, Georgia, that they lost focus of what the devil was doing in ministry, and now they're shipwrecked. Two young'uns. Now where they need ministry more in their life, they said, "What's the use? We just quit and we stay at home. It's not what God says it is." Now they're shipwrecked. You're not far from it this morning. I'm not far from it this morning. The devil's no respecter of person. So what? You got your baby sitting here this morning, friend. You better be on guard against the devil. The devil hates ministry. And then number three, not only does the devil attack the mind and ministry, the devil is very aware of what's going on in your marriage this morning. The devil, the first marriage that was instituted in the Bible, when God brought Adam up and was created, and He said, "I'm going to make you help me." And out of the rib from His side, God made a woman. He said, "Now I'm going to call your name Adam. You're going to be that close. I'm going to call you by one name." And soon as that institution of marriage was united, honey, here come the devil seeking whom he may devour. He walked in the Garden of Eden and he told Eve, "Look at all of this that you can have." Didn't show her one thing she had. Just showed her what she didn't have. And she rebelled. And she took of the fruit of the tree. And she was cast in a sinful world. And along came Adam. Adam knew better. But Adam transgressed because he obeyed his wife and took of the fruit of that tree. And the day that Adam took of that, his eyes were open. And my friend, they were plunged in total depravity. And that's where we all got our nature from, our parents in the garden, Adam and Eve. That's why we're so wicked. We've got a bad nature in us this morning. And boy, the devil hates marriage. Last week, me and my wife was married 30 years by the grace of God and grace only. And you know something? I cannot even begin to explain and to express how many times that the devil tried to defeat our marriage. We must better learn as a child of God, around the house of God, the devil's going to attack your man. He's going to attack this ministry. And he's going to attack your marriage. Now watch what Paul said. not only put off, but he said in verse 24, you better learn how to put on. He said, matter of fact, the reason you better learn to put it on, because it don't come natural. Put on the new man, which after God is created. Boy, I like that. In righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lie and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Some of you got the smartest mouth. Some of you got the hatefulest mouth. And you, if you couldn't say something good, you ought to get around this altar this morning and say, dear God, pray for me not to even let me say nothing evil or wicked. God, if I can't say something good, let me hush. Matter of fact, if you'd ever talk about a brother and sister not right, God ought to give you lockjaw. You walk in the house of God Sunday morning. Of course, I know you. You wouldn't come back. Your jaw's locked. It'd do you good about 3 weeks. But make you think about what you're talking about and who you're hurting. One little word can drive people to their grave. One little word out of sorts can mess up a mind, a marriage, or a ministry. We sure better guard our little smart mouths. Somebody say amen right there. You say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm a preacher. I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher. So this is what he said. He said, put on. Verse 25, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You've heard those saying, marriage couples, don't go to bed mad. A lot of truth in that. Said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's amazing. If you let it go down on your wrath, how much problem it multiplies in your sleep. Nothing wrong saying I'm sorry. Matter of fact, some of you young'uns think you done got to the place just because you ain't other than mom and daddy. I wish some more people's here this morning listen to preaching. My wife's always saying, I wish you'd preach some of them messages on Sunday morning. Well, I am this morning. Just because some of you young'uns done got grown, got out on that table, you got your smart mouth, and you done forgot about your mom and daddy, what the Bible said. He said, respect your father and your mother. He didn't say when you was 18, get the smart mouth. Amen. Amen. It's amazing how your little backbiting and your little tongue can hurt your mom and daddy. How you can hurt other people. And that stuff catches. Amen? Y'all look up here. I'm a preacher. Ain't no time to look out the windows this morning. I'm a preaching to you. Quit looking at the floor. We ain't a praying right now. We're preaching. Look at your preacher when he's preaching. You can run that mouth when nobody's looking. See if you can run it when somebody's looking at you. Amen. Yes, preacher. You can run it down to Piggly Wiggly. Let's see what you say on Sunday morning.
Go ahead.
If I was a preacher, I wouldn't do that. That's why you ain't a preacher.
Amen.
You ain't got the guts to be a preacher.
Amen.
I ain't mad. I'm smiling.
Go ahead.
Put it on, he said. Said, don't come easy. You got to learn to take some stuff out. But you're going to have to learn to put on. It's okay to put on a little kindness. I remember Paul, Acts chapter 28 over there. The Bible said on shipwreck he landed over at Melita and they showed us no little kindness for they kindled a fire. Praise God, I'm glad somebody still knows how to build a fire. Brother Randall, I won't get on you right now. I used Brother Randall in Kentucky the other day. About building a fire. I'm glad you wouldn't have, but you'd been proud of me. They showed us no little kindness because of the present rain and the cold. My Lord, it's so cold outside. So many old churches got cold. It kills me to go to places and preach and nobody comes up and says, hey, we're glad you're here this morning. Dear Lord, it ought to It ought to absolutely drive us to our knees that we couldn't show kindness to one another in the body of Christ. Christ died for us and put us together. We ought to love one another as Christ loved His church. Quit backbiting and talking about stuff you don't even know about. You know something? We used to play this in school. It was amazing. This is amazing to me. We'd all line up in gym class. I don't know why we done it in gym. We had a great teacher and didn't even know it. He'd put us on one end and line up to the other. Say, all right, now we're going to say about 8 words right here on the front. We're going to say how it comes out at the end. It's amazing what started down there that come out yonder. Lord, I feel some preach coming on right now. You sit over there and you say, psst, 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 psst. And by the time it gets down to Jonesville, time it gets down to Carrollton, it ain't what nobody said. The devil got in it. Leads me to point 2. What was point 1? I don't know, but there's a bunch there. I don't know how many points we got left. But point 2, look what this Bible says. Neither give place to the devil. That word give means to grant. Place means occupancy. Neither give place to the devil. I tell you how you give place to the devil. Talking about stuff you don't know nothing about. Preacher, all these new people sitting around hearing you preach, I want them to know what they're getting. What you see is what you get. This ain't a pig in a poke, honey. It's just the real deal. Don't give place to the devil. How are you giving place to the devil? By running your mouth by something you don't know nothing about. I know how I'd handle that. Oh, do you? How come you in a mess? You done messed up what you got. How in the world could you run something else? So, preacher, I'm going to get you out to serve. That's okay. That's all right. That won't be the first time I've been rolled around on the ground. Hey, some boys around here skin you up. Hallelujah. Hey, they some girls can skin you up too. Don't you think giving place to the devil's talking? And I'll tell you another good place you give to him when you listen. Don't give place to the devil. You know why? Because he's hunting the place. Lord, I thought that's pretty good what I had. Don't give place to the devil. Why? Because see, what did he tell God in the book of Job? He said, hey, devil, where you been? Like he didn't know. He said, I've been walking up and down. Peter says, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He don't want to just bite you. He wants to devour you. Devour you. Neither give place to the devil. We ought not give devil the place with our mouth or our ear. What? I don't want to hear it. Did you hear about so and so? It used to just be the beauty shop. That's what preachers preached 50 years ago, y'all down at the beauty shop. Now it's just the church house.
Amen. You're right.
He said, preacher, I can't believe you say this stuff. Oh, you ain't got a clue what I say.
Go ahead, preacher.
Don't give place to the... Did you hear about so-and-so? See, I seen their car over there the other day. Wonder what they... Yeah.
Yeah, you seen our car over there the other day? Because that family's car broke down, this other family gave them that to use. Y'all see that car? Y'all see their kids? I would venture to say this about young'uns. It would do you good to see about your own. And not be worrying about nobody else. Because I done found this about raising young'uns. When they marry and supposed to go off, they don't go nowhere. They bring more home. Don't think honeymoon's coming again. But I'm glad they got a place to come to. Matter of fact, greatest day of my week, Sunday evening, about 1 o'clock, sitting around my table with my family that the devil hates. Neither give place to the devil. Hey, something. Some of you like riving and playing. I'm going to use this analogy. I don't know nothing else to do. Let's talk about my bald head a minute. Now, if I had a complex about this receding hairline, last thing you'd need to do is say, "Hey, preacher, you're getting a little thin on top." I'll go there next. Neither give place. If you know it's going to strike a nerve, man, how come you want to give a place to the devil? Let's talk about this. Picking up a little, ain't you, preacher? Yeah, I picked up a lot. God's good, what can I say? Neither give place to the devil. Some of you men know what absolutely drives your wife crazy. Gets her upset. Why are you giving a place to the devil? Well, I mean, what kind of door don't give place to the devil? If you got a temptation bothering you about drinking, the last place you need to go is to the package store. Neither give place to that. If you got a problem with drugs, the last thing you need to do is go run around somebody doing drugs. Don't give place to the devil. If pornography is a problem, the last thing you need is a computer. Neither give place to the devil's got to have a place before he can hang out. Got to have a place. Devil's hunting a place. Ain't it amazing how you can maybe sometimes just want to be a blessing and the devil make it backfire? You're not your enemy. Turn around and tell people by you, you're not the enemy. Turn around, I want you to tell them, say, we're not the enemy. Turn around and tell them, we're not the enemy. The enemy is the devil. Now, look right here and I'm going to close this sermon.
Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Hard times may hit your house sometime. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. I wonder if we lined up everybody here right now and done a replay out of verse 29. Let everybody in this building hear what you've said this week and talked about. I wonder, would it edify the body? Wouldn't that be funny if God put people on the spot, made them stand up in front of everybody and say, now, hit rewind. What'd you say about them? Can I tell you God's writing it all down? Now watch this, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let, verse 31, you ought to underline that real big. Let. You got an option. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. That matter of fact, clamor, shout, or outcry out of control. Then he uses the word slander. Malice. And be ye kind one to another. Here I like this word, tenderhearted. Now, if I'm down on the bottom, the last thing I need is a smart aleck. I mean, I'm just trying to preach so y'all can understand what I'm saying. A lot of these grads, boys, you don't even know what kind of vernacular they using now. I just want to tell you now, don't nobody like a smart mouth. Don't give place to the devil. I tell some of y'all looking out the yonder, you must not have no problem with the devil. Like, I don't know why he's wasting his time with all this. Be kind one to another, tender hearted, and I love this, forgiving one another. You want your marriage to last 30 years, you better know where this verse is at. Forgiving one another, you want to stay in a Holy Ghost filled church, you better know where this verse is at. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know something? He might have messed up. He might have made a bad mistake. But if he's asked you to forgive him, this Bible says you need to forgive him. And you need to quit throwing it up in front of him every day you live and giving place to the devil. You know what? It'd do some of you good this morning to get some things right. Maybe you said something and offended somebody. You ought to tell them you're sorry this morning. Tender-hearted, you ought to tell somebody you love them today. Miss Julie, if you'd come, I'd be grateful. I believe if God's ever given me a verse on neither give place to the devil, He'd give me one this morning. Sitting right over there when Brother Tim was teaching. Neither give place. Because I'm going to tell you, he's looking for one. And I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't tell you he wasn't hunting one. You know what y'all do this morning? First of all, if you're not saved by the grace of God, the devil would love to keep you that way. But the blood of Jesus can forgive you of anything you've ever done. The blood of Jesus can keep you saved this morning. And I don't care what you've done. I've probably done a lot more. But I've been forgiven. And I've been trying to preach this gospel 21 years now, that Jesus still saves old sinners. I hear people say, I wouldn't go to that church down there. Well, I'd come and see what everybody's talking about. That cult. Call everybody brother and sister. What's y'all's problem down there? Matter of fact, if I moved in a community, one of the first places I'd visit is them that's talked about the most. I just simply want to ask you something. Have you got help since you've come here? I wouldn't talk about nobody's cooking, and I sat down and tried it. Sir, he'd save you this morning. Ma'am, he'd save you this morning. He'd put your home back together, sir. Whatever you need in your life.